Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I'm not drunk. I'm autistic. I am Nara Birch. And today I wanted to talk about my escapades in the mental ward. So trigger warning now for that, and I guess suicide, and just a trigger warning for basic childhood traumas, I guess. I don't know. Best, I'm just going to talk. I might cry. This is definitely a difficult topic for me. It's something that not to talk about, like I'm cool talking about, anything that's happened to me. Like that's the whole point of me being an advocate, is the fact that I am willing to let people hear my stories to make them feel less alone or to help them or whatever this does for you. Hopefully you're not masturbating to the sound of my voice. If you are, I guess that's okay. I've had people tell me that before. Creepy, right? What a fun way to start this episode off. Masturbating to the sound of my voice. If you're gonna do it, don't do it to this episode, because this is a sad episode. I just hit my computer. Oh goodness, I'm blushing right now. All right, just forget everything I just said and let's just talk about my experiences in the mental hospital. Jesus Christ. So I went to the mental hospital for the very first time in sixth grade. I was told I went for my bad behavior, which is something that, like, in the mental, okay, let me talk about just how horrible it was. So I was in sixth grade. I was at camp at my temple, and all of a sudden, like, two of the rabbis walk in, and one of them gets my sister, and one of them gets me. And of course, I'm like, shit, someone died. Who died? But no, it was the rabbi's job to tell me that I was going to the mental hospital because my parents just could not handle my behavior anymore. And it was too much. And yeah, I was admitted for, I think, a week. I don't know. It was horrible. It was one of the worst traumatic experiences of my life. I hated it there. And the thing is, like, I knew that my behavior was bad. I knew that how I acted was bad. But I had no clue I couldn't tell you at the time that the reason that I had such bad behavioral problems was because of the abuse I was suffering every day. So I just thought I was the problem. I just thought I was bad. That's it. That's like whenever the therapists would try to talk to me in the hospital or we had group therapy and they'd be like, why are you in here? I would literally be, I'm autistic. And they're like, no, that's not the reason you're in here. And I'm like, no, I'm in here because I act autistic. And like they would say, don't hide behind your diagnosis. But like at the time, that was the closest I could get to verbalizing that autism equals bad. It doesn't. It doesn't, but in this situation, autism equals bad. I don't remember terribly much about the first stay there. I know I had to have like blood taken every day, which I hate, and I didn't eat anything because I have very severe food sensitive. I'm pretty sure I ate nothing but Cheez-Its my entire time at the mental ward. Oh, and spaghetti. They have good spaghetti. But like, other than that, that's the first day, right? I don't really remember much. What I do remember is that would be used as a threat constantly from then on about the mental hospital. Anytime like my behavior got too bad, it was like a threat. It was definitely when I was experiencing things like voices in my head and suicidal thoughts that should have been actually taken seriously and like talked about, I didn't get that. I got, oh, if you tell us you're suicidal, you're going straight to the mental hospital. Oh, you're hearing voices in your head, straight to the mental hospital. Like, so I didn't tell them about either of those things, which didn't help. And I didn't talk about my suicidal thoughts and the negative voices in my head for such a long time, because I instantly thought if those words came out of my mouth, whoever I was around would be like, nope, mental hospital time, let's go. The second time I went, I was in eighth grade, and I was having a meltdown, and I remember just screaming angrily at my dad, I'll burn the house down. I didn't mean it. I said right after I didn't mean it. I was frustrated. I didn't know what else to do. But of course, my dad was like, oh, no, let's take you to the mental ward. And that was that one sentence was what got me admitted for another week. And this was in the middle of the school year. So, like, I had to be taken out of school for it. And that one was worse. I had a roommate who heard voices in her head telling her to kill herself and kill other people when she dreamed, when dreamt. I don't know what the word is. So I did not sleep for a week straight because I was fucking terrified. Like, I wasn't going to close my eyes. And again, I ate nothing but Cheez-Its. And I'm sure they fucked with my meds. And all I remember is that we watched Mulan and The Nightmare Before Christmas and The Breakfast Club. Those are the three movies I remember watching. I don't remember any of the therapies because what the issue is that, like, and here's the other thing, the other people, the other children at this mental ward, when they would hear me talk and listen to my story, they would always be like, why are you in here? You shouldn't have, there's no reason you should be in here. And like, I told them about the meltdowns and all of that shit, but the rest of them were even like, you're not mentally ill enough to be in here right now. It truly was my parents were just so sick of my behaviors. And this is medication and this were always the best option. So that's it. Those are the only two times I have been in there. sorry, trying not to cough, trying not to cry. I don't know. It's just scary. It was really scary. It's always really scary to be taken out of your home and put in respite or put in the mental hospital. Oh, fuck. Now I have to do an episode about my respite spells too, don't I? Yeah, I do. Let's just say eighth grade was not a good year for me. It was not great. I almost went back again when I was I don't know, this had to be in 2016. So like however old I was in 2016, it's 2020 and I'm 28. If you feel like doing math, be my guest. But I was just so burnt out and I was just fucking losing it, and I almost checked myself in, but then I remembered that it's not gonna be helpful. Like, literally, it would probably do more harm than good, and I am eternally grateful to myself that I did not check myself in, because it would have been more harm than good. I think that's it. Sorry, I kind of started disassociating a little bit towards the end because I really don't like to think about it. There's like a certain cologne that one of the nurses wore the first time I was there that, like, literally if it wafts by me now, I get PTSD reactions to it. I wasn't able to watch any of the three movies I mentioned. I watched Mulan recently, actually, and it kicked ass, and I had a great time, and I was like, fuck the mental hospital, fuck the association it gave me. I'm going to watch this, and I did, and it was a blast. And yeah, I don't know. I probably should stop recording, but I'm just trying to think. The only other thing that I remember really that stuck out with me, so my theater director at the time, who was just honestly one of the best, most amazing humans I had in my life, I think. I wish that I maybe got to utilize her more as a support, because I feel like she's someone I could have told what was happening in my house, and she might have actually believed me, but as I was just so conditioned not to tell anybody because of all the shit that was happening. Anytime I would tell people I was locked in my room or things like that, my parents, anytime I mentioned things, it was always, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Like gaslighting. It was gaslighting. And so, I don't know. I wish I had reached out to her looking back now. But the reason I bring her up is because, right, and she was like the camp director of the camp I went to. So we were doing a volunteer activity together, like right after I got out. And she just sits down next to me on the bus and just like matter of factly was like, so what was the mental hospital like? And nobody had asked me that. Nobody had asked me how I was feeling about it. Sorry. Nobody cared. And the fact that she was just like, what happened? Tell me. I want to hear about it. Just meant the world to me. And I don't know if you're somehow listening, Sherry, like, I would like to reach out to you somehow and just write to you and just talk to you. But if you're, no matter what, thank you. And I don't know. There's so many times that I feel like there were so many times that a human could have stepped in and helped me and made my life a little bit easier, and it just didn't happen. Sorry, I knew I was gonna cry. But this is and I'm gonna cry when I have to go back and listen to it again. That's fine, it's healing. This is good for me. This is healing to get to talk about it. Yeah, I think that's it. Thank you guys for listening to me. I was going to record the respite episode right after this, but I don't think I can handle that because along with mental hospital, I would say my respite was even more than the mental hospital. The respite was the most traumatic shit of my life. Oh, I remembered one more fact that's kind of sad, but I just want to say it because it was healing. So I'm going to be honest. I truly don't think that this schedule happened because of this, but looking back on it now as an adult, it's kind of interesting that the timing lined up perfectly. With my second stay at the mental hospital, we had a foreign exchange student come stay with us for a week from China, which is where my sister was adopted from. And I never got to meet her. I never got to be a part of any of the activities that they did because I was in the hospital. And it kind of sucked because it felt like, looking back now, it feels like they were hiding me away for a reason. Like, and I even remember afterwards, like after I got out, like my sister was going to write to her as a pen pal or something. And I was like, oh, can I do that too? That sounds cool. And my parents were just like, no, she never met you. That would be weird. She doesn't know you. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know. I just feel like for a week, maybe while I was in the mental hospital, they got to pretend that they had the family they always wanted. And I just thought about that now. So I'm going to press the stop record button and go cry about that for a little bit on my own. Because even though I don't want this family, even though I hate the way they treated me, I'm still, and even though I'm a mythical creature from a different realm, I still have human feelings. I still have the human need to want a family and parents and siblings. And yeah. Thank you guys for listening so much, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.